Welcome, everybody, to the Freedom Filled Life podcast. I'm your host, Shay Brown, co-founder of the Bucket List Bombshells, where we serve women who are building, growing, and scaling a service-based online business. I'm going to be sitting down today with Nadine Burton, who is a social media marketing coach, and her expertise is in coaching women to leave their 9-to-5 and start their own freelance businesses as social media managers. Now, if you've been with Bucket List Bombshells for a while, you're probably thinking, wow, that seems like a match made in heaven. As you know, we are also doing something similar, and I think it'll be really fun for those of you listening who are interested in starting a social media management business, and for those of you who use social media management to grow your service-based businesses. Some other fun facts that we're going to dive into today is that, similar to Cassie and I's business journey, Nadine is also living the nomad lifestyle via Bali and Portugal, two of my favorite places. So I will be asking her about her travels as well, as I know many of you listening are super into that and being that digital nomad life. And I'm just really excited to be sitting down with you today, Nadine. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be with you today.
Yes. And before we dive into your story and kind of talk about your travels, I'd love to know from you, and if you can share with our audience, the business that you own and the services that you offer.
Yes, of course. So currently I coach women how to become a freelance social media manager. And I've been doing that for about 4 years, and for the last 8 years, I would say, I've also been working as a freelancer and offering social media management services to different companies. And that's really where I first started. And now I do like one or two clients on the side, but I really focus on the coaching area. The reason why I still do one or two clients is because I feel social media is such a fast-paced industry. And if you're not actually still in it, it's really hard to teach what's going on. So I'm still doing that. And really enjoy seeing other women creating their own businesses.
I love that. I love that you're taking on a couple clients, like you said, to really stay on top of it, because as a former, like way long ago, social media manager, that was like the bane of my existence, was staying on top of that. And I love that you're doing that in addition to coaching. And I just think that that's such a complimentary thing to do for your business and probably for your coaching clients as well. So I'm super curious if we can kind of go back in time and kind of speak to how and when you started your business. Was this intentional choice? Was it something you fell into? I know there's many, I like to call them pandemic businesses that were started, but I'm so curious, kind of where were you before and kind of what was that journey when you got started?
So I started around 2015, and I honestly believe we were probably in the Bali at the same time.
We started our business in Bucket List Bombshells in 2015.
Yeah, because I remember seeing you guys' Instagram, and I think we were at the same time there.
Oh my goodness.
I left Switzerland 2015. I quit my 9-to-5, and I just wanted to go traveling. Yeah. So I think I said like, oh, I'm going to go 6 months and then see what happens. And after, I think, 1.5, 2 months, I ran out of money because it's costing really well. And Bali was one of the places I stayed in the very beginning. So I came back to it and I was like, oh my God, I really love it here. I kind of want to stay. So I'm just going to see what other people are doing. And as you might know, back then it wasn't that big of a thing doing freelancing. So I was looking into different things. People were doing websites, others were doing affiliates, and I didn't really find my thing, to be honest. And my friend said, well, her boss needs help with social media. And because in the past I've worked in marketing and I studied marketing, why don't you just handle her social media? So it was really casual. And I was like, okay, why not? And because you didn't need a lot of money back then in Bali, I was like, okay. And I started with my first client, and she right away told other business owners like, oh my God, I have this girl. She is Swiss, but she's living in Bali, so she's not charging Swiss salary. Why don't you do it with her as well? So that's how I got like really quickly a couple of clients. And that was 2015. And since then it just kept growing. And I also thought like, oh, why don't you just do like travel blogging as well? Like everybody's doing travel blogging. I want to do that too. I want to kind of do that influencer thing. And very quickly, I think like after 3 or 4 months, I realized, oh, it's actually not for me. Like I don't like the whole posing on pictures. And I didn't want to write about my experiences on hotels. I just wanted to enjoy the experience. So I stopped that again. And then I realized, you know what? It's easier. I can just make money by handling other people's social media. And my face doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be the brand, because really like I focus on other people's social media and mine just takes a step back. And that's when I then realized, okay, that's like a niche, because a lot of people wanted to do social media, but they were similar to me. They didn't want it to be the influencer. They didn't want it to constantly take pictures of themselves, which was a big thing in Bali. But there were other people who didn't want to do that. And that's then how I started doing my social media manager academy, like roughly 4 years later.
Wow. I love that. Your journey is so similar to ours. So for those of you who haven't heard our origin story, I believe it's episode maybe 1, 2, or 3, go back and give that a listen, because Cass and I had a very similar journey. We just did it in Mexico. So we didn't actually make our way to Bali until about 2016. So yes, mm-hmm. we probably had some overlap there, but your journey was so similar. So thank you for sharing. And I love hearing that, you know, how you got started, because kind of like what you had said back in the day, it was really just as affiliate marketers or like mm-hmm. web developer coders. And that was so common for us to see. And Cass and I also were like, we don't really want to be in that industry. No shade. We just were like, that's not our calling. And so social media management for myself is where I got started. It was like an emerging service. And mm-hmm. I really gravitated towards that. And then later on did other things, but it was definitely like that service base where you're working one-on-one with clients was so appealing to me versus kind of the other things we were seeing, like what you saw in the industry. So I'm curious what really called you to the digital nomad lifestyle, and kind of what did the on the road business journey look like for you? How did you build that while traveling? Or did you stay put in Bali? I'm super curious what that looked like.
It was a mix, I would say. In the So first I traveled, but back then I didn't have a business yet. And then I stayed in Bali a little bit. And then I met my husband now. So back then my boyfriend in Bali. Yeah. And then we started traveling together, but we always kind of like went back to Bali for like longer periods of time. In the beginning, it was great to have a base just to have everything set up. Like, what are my workflows going to look like? How am I even going to do this while I take this business then on the road? And then I kind of figured it out how I'm going to do it on the road. But it always, like, whenever I stayed put for longer periods of times, I could see a business growth, because when you travel, like, quote unquote, too much, you're so distracted. So you can't really focus on growth. You can keep your existing clients, but it was harder for me to grow. And also I realized, as much as I love traveling, I mean, I've been traveling since I can remember, changing location like weekly, that was too much for me, because it's like such an overwhelming feeling, and you have to look for accommodation and then you want to go out and see the town or whatever. So we started doing like monthly, so let's say like 3 to 6 months even in new places. We went to Hawaii, we went to Italy, and just went to all these different places, and then stayed put in Bali for longer periods of time, also because we knew it the best. And as you might know, like, it just offers so many things for in such a small place, you can get everything. So that's why we always came back. But yeah, as far as like taking my business on the road, in the beginning, I kind of felt like it was important to stay put, to have everything set up, and then I could travel. And then ever since then, it's been like that. So my business has always been set up like that. I don't have any paperwork or anything like that. I can just take my laptop and my phone, and that's it.
I love that. Yeah, we definitely discovered that pretty early on. We started saying, okay, this is, we got to do slow travel if we really wanted our businesses to grow. And, you know, you have peaks and valleys too. Like there were times where travel was more of a forefront and experiencing, you know, the cities that we were in and showcasing that lifestyle that was is definitely part of our brand, and more so before the pandemic, really showcasing and doing kind of the travel book thing, but more so how can you work on the road. But definitely with the periods of time where we were more stationary, like say, for example, in Bali with a base, or Mexico with a base, or even when we were here in Vancouver with a base, it was, that's where we saw the growth happen. And that was kind of fun. It was like, okay, have a base, watch growth happen, be surrounded by other entrepreneurs, and then go have some fun, go take a few months to be maintenance mode. And then that's really how we saw businesses grow, and how you can really, for those listening, if you're trying to figure out kind of that balance, I think that that's something that needs to be taken into consideration for growth in your business. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I just have like a quick follow-up cue. Do you think that you are going to be putting your roots down in Portugal? Because I know now you've made your way to Portugal. It's a place that I absolutely love. And I'm just curious, is it like a time to put roots down, or is this kind of a stop on your travel adventures?
I don't think I can ever stop my travel adventures. So during the pandemic, we actually decided to move to Switzerland just because we wanted to be closer to family, and we got an apartment and everything. And we were like, okay, this is like, let's have the roots here and then keep on traveling. And then right after the pandemic, we were like, yeah, actually no. And we got rid of everything again. Like we got this whole apartment and everything, and we sold everything again. So we were like, nope. But as we went back to Bali, we've been there. I think my husband's been there for 12 years. I've been there for like more than 8 years. I was like, okay, I kind of feel like this chapter in Asia is closed. I love Bali and we will always go back to it. But for definitely living there, I just felt like this chapter was closed. Mm-hmm. And I came to Portugal, and I always wanted to live in a Mediterranean country. So I was like, okay, why not staying here and have our roots, quote unquote, here while still traveling. So I don't think there's been a month where we don't travel. And the good thing in Europe is you can go anywhere so quickly. So I think for us, or at least for me, it's like, I want to have a base, simply just because for the last 7 or 8 years, I lived out of one suitcase. Like I did not have any more clothes, or, you know, I didn't buy any fancy makeup or anything like that, because it simply wouldn't match my suitcase. So I was like, you know, like I kind of want to have a little bit of a base while we still travel. And honestly, it's been the best thing so far to really just have like hand luggage and being able to travel to different countries in Europe. And I know then I can come back and don't constantly have to unpack from completely scratch again, because that was fun, but that was like the last 7-8 years. So that was was like, okay, maybe now a new chapter while still traveling.
I love that. I definitely think my post-pandemic chapter has found a lot more stability, a lot more home base, and I've been really enjoying that, just kind of picking and choosing a couple places like Austin, Texas, Playa del Carmen in Mexico, and Vancouver here close to my family, and really just kind of cycling through for long periods of time has brought me so much joy. And I really thought that I thought kind of the stopping of the travel might not, like I might feel this urge again. And like, while of course I am, it's on my list to come visit Portugal. I went to Europe earlier this year. Like I'm still traveling quite a bit, but having that really stable home base and not living out of a suitcase for me has brought so much joy. So I love hearing that it's kind of this opposite of like, yes, you have a base, but you're still just like loving this suitcase life, like 8-10 years later. I think that is just so cool. And I haven't really chatted with a lot of nomads in the past couple years. And so it's really fun to hear your story. And I'm sure our listeners enjoyed that, as we have so many people that are working online and traveling in our audience. So thank you.
Thank you.
Amazing. So let's get into today's topic. I'm sure everybody is like, okay, let's talk about social media management and what the heck I can do with it. So I wanted to bring you on to share with our listeners more about how they can be using organic social media strategies to really amplify their business. And we'll dive into kind of paid versus organic within this episode. But first, let's start out by having you share with us kind of what your organic social media strategies are right now. As you said, the trends change a lot. So I'm curious, what's going on right now in the social media world?
Well, I feel like every week is something different, but I think the most important thing is like to pick one or two platforms that you want to stay on consistently and not spread yourself too thin of like, okay, I'm going to do all the different platforms because it's going to be overwhelming. So something that you enjoy, but it has to be in combination in where your target audience hangs out. So if my target audience is, I don't know, in their 60s and they're mostly on Facebook, but I'm over here creating TikToks, it's going to be a mismatch. Like you're not really going to get any clients out of it. So no matter what business you have, so it needs to be due for your target audience, but then also what do you really enjoy? So if you're absolutely bad and you hate video content, I would not force any of my clients to, I do force them as in like, I try to give them a chance, but if you're absolutely bad at it and you hate it, I would not do it because then it feels inauthentic, right? Mm. So I would choose something that you also can naturally express yourself. So maybe you feel like, okay, I'm really good at writing. I'm like funny at writing, but I can't bring it on camera when I do videos, for example. Now we have this great new app from Instagram or so Threads you can use now, or you could use Twitter. So kind of choose where you feel like your natural abilities are. And then it's really like a matter of staying super consistent with it. But that doesn't mean that you have to post 3 times per day on any platforms to be successful. And just knowing that consistency will help you, but it will be a slower growth compared to what you just mentioned, paid marketing.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's really spot on with like finding that crossroads between where my client's hanging out and what do I enjoy doing so that I will actually show up and do it. So thank yes. you. Yeah. And kind of diving into something that's kind of a hot topic. So recently we had a guest on, Ashlyn Carter, where we discussed AI tools for copywriters. Mm-hmm. So for those of you listening, check out that episode with Ashlyn Carter, AI tools for copywriters. But I love seeing all the ways that our students and my coaching clients are really starting to use these awesome AI tools to really help them in their businesses. So I'd love to know from you, what AI tools are you using as a social media manager that you would recommend for anyone who is creating social media content to use?
I mean, I love AI, obviously, because it makes my life easier. And I felt like there's been this huge wave of people fearing that they lose mm-hmm. their job yes. as a social media manager, where I personally feel like it's the opposite, because as you know, a social media manager does so many things. It's almost impossible to be good at everything. And so then kind of it lacks somewhere. So now that we have AI, we can really focus on a good strategy. We can focus on really researching good content and actually come up with be creative again. And then I outsource all the copywriting to AI, but that doesn't mean like I outsource a full length of copy. Yeah. That maybe means like I ask an AI tool for hook ideas. Like, how can I make my TikTok video with the first hook stand out from other videos? Because a lot of the times people have a hard time to be clickbaity. They want to be genuine and they want to be really nice, but then the video or the content doesn't perform well because that first hook is not really good. So now you can just use an AI tool and you can ask the AI tool to create a great hook for you. So obviously I use ChatGPT for that, but there are also so many social media scheduling tools that now have AI integration. Off the top of my head, I would say Flick is one of those. It helps you researching hashtags, but it also writes caption for you and it can rewrite captions for you. So sometimes when I feel like it's just not, you know, it's hot outside, I'm not super inspired, I write like a basic caption, but then I ask the AI tool to rewrite it. And then I feel like, oh yeah, more adjectives helps me with staying on top of my game, then adding more of my own content. So I definitely use it for copywriting. I use it for hook ideas or even just video ideas. And then I add my own creative touch to it, obviously, because mm-hmm. I honestly feel I can tell if someone wrote a caption with just ChatGPT. But maybe that's just me, but I feel I can tell now by the way the adjectives are used.
Yeah, I definitely feel like we're going to start to have that, especially marketers who are using it, yeah. I think, because that's something I noticed back in the day, even with like Facebook ads. And mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, I could, or I guess like you can see if it's an ad or not. But back when you didn't have to like say it was an ad or different things, it was like, oh, I see that, or I see that funnel. Yes. But that's because we're the marketers, right? We're behind yes. the scenes. And I think that that's going to start to happen because I feel that way too. And I love that you're utilizing it, but you're still putting your expertise on it, your spin on it, your creativity to it, because AI can't fully replace humans. And I think no. it's really going to challenge us. And I touch on this in that other episode, is that it's really going to challenge us to show up better, like and mm-hmm. be thinking outside the box and amplifying our customer service and our kind of connection points, because AI can't really do that. Yes, they can answer customer service emails, but they can't really get on a strategy call and listen to someone and hear the nuances of yes. what someone wants or the nuances of their business, because they're just, at least right now, the AI tools are simply scraping the internet for yeah. information. And yes, they can be trained to write in certain tones and copy. And that's because that's easy to learn from the internet. I think it's that nuance of strategy, creativity, the human touch, the way that we would say something. And I think that that editing ability is something that I would lean into and start honing, like that skill. Utilize AI as your assistant, yeah. as you're, you know, getting started. It's very helpful for those who just, like someone like me, sometimes I stare at a blank page and I'm like, I just like, I don't even know where to start. Like, exactly. can you just, like you said, a hook or like just an outline, or just give me some, like, you know, instead of me going like old school and researching using Google, I feel yeah. like I use it like an assistant and I'm like, okay, just like, give me a little bit of like a little breadcrumbs to get me started. Let's go. yeah.
Yes, exactly. I love that. And I feel like the one thing that you touched on is like the human touch. So it can't recreate emotions or humor. Mm. And especially in social media, where trends are so quickly, and a way of saying something for me was really hard, because I'm like an older millennial generation, but now everything is like for Gen Z. So I kind of have to go through all that content realizing, right. oh, okay, this is probably a word. It's not because I'm not native English. It's actually because it's yeah. a word that I don't even know.
How oh, same.
It's like, okay. So this is something that an AI, at least up to now, cannot do. And then how is it used in different TikTok videos? How is that trend used? Mm. And I recently just saw that with an assistant. There actually was an intern of mine. It was so cute because I wrote it in that kind of Gen Z way. And she rewrote the text because she probably thought I made a mistake.
Oh,
and
no.
I said, no, it's actually, that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's something we can't replace, because I saw it in a trending TikTok video. And then I thought, okay, let's use it like that. So humor, emotions, right. all of that, it cannot be recreated. So yes, I can get all the ideas from an AI, but then I'm going to add it, make it funny or make it like emotional. And that's something I don't feel threatened by AI in that kind of way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And while you were speaking, you were talking about like having a hook and then editing bits and pieces. I'd love to know, what is your kind of a structure, say, so to speak, for writing copy for social media? Do you kind of have an outline that you could recommend for those who are kind of newer to writing social copy?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing is to always have a content bank, whether that's your notes in your phone or whether it's a Google Doc. I think the hardest part is if you ran out of content ideas. Yes, you can ask AI, but it's just easier when you're in a creative mode to always have content ideas. So I just have random content ideas. That doesn't mean I have a text or I have a hook or anything like that yet. And then I'll say, okay, Monday is my batch creation day. I'll grab those 10 ideas and I write 10 captions right away. So I don't do anything else. I literally just write those captions with the content idea that I have. And then at the end, I add a hook to it based on, you know, where my writing went. Maybe it changed from what the original idea was. And that right away can be 10 ideas, can be 20, depends on how fast you are. And you can use AI now to do this, but I still actually do it manually. I just grab my content ideas, write the copy, and then add the hook. And then from there, I go back into that and I look at it and I decide whether this is going to be a caption for just, let's say, a simple picture on Instagram, or is this maybe going to be a carousel post on Instagram? So then I split up that whole caption and then I create a Canva design out of it. Or I look at it and I feel like, well, this could actually also be a video. And then it's almost like my script for the video. Mm. And I do that for my own content, but I do that for all of my client content as well. So nice. I start with the writing part, with the longest form of writing. Mm-hmm. And I do it for all of my clients, ideally on the same day, but nowadays depends on how many clients you have, just so that that part is done. And I would say to everybody, don't multitask, because I know it seems intriguing, but really the best way for me to stay sane in this social media game is to have those days where I really just write all the captions and now I know I have this done. And then the next day, it's more the graphic design or the video editing. So I really have it split up. And the hardest part is doing it while traveling. Maybe you can't do it in a full day, but still block out those times where you'd say, okay, this full morning, it's just going to be me and my computer. We're not going to go see a new town or do anything else, so that you can keep that workflow going, so that it's almost like in a factory, you always have like those different things that you do in a certain way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that process. I actually might adopt some of that processes for myself. Yeah, I like that you start just with the full long form content writing. I think that's probably the biggest hurdle to get over. And then I love how you're looking at that and saying, okay, can this actually be a different type of content? What format? What, you know, then go and add the hook and everything like that. But yeah, I really like that process. Thank you for sharing that. And I hope that, you know, our listeners got something out of that, because I think that that's a great way to do it. Get over the biggest hurdle, which I think is writing the content. So switching gears a little bit here, it kind of feels like to me, out of nowhere, Instagram released this new app called Threads. I'm sure it was coming as a social media manager. You probably saw it coming. For me, I was like, whoa, okay, we have a Threads app, which I noticed functions similarly to Twitter, but to be honest, I haven't fully adopted it just yet. But I have signed us up for an account. So since I have you here, I wanted to ask, can you share with us more about what this tool is? And if someone hasn't heard of it, maybe kind of describe it to us. And then how would you go about recommending we as business owners really utilize this app?
Yeah, you're right. We actually already knew this. They announced it beginning of January and it was called a different name. And then they kept announcing it. So now it's out. It's basically just the Twitter clone, but right now we have the benefits of the early stages of a new social media platform, where there's not really an algorithm in place that decides which content is shown to which person. So that means really quickly, your content can be shown to a lot of people. Now it's important to notice that this app is an Instagram app. It's not a Meta app. It's an Instagram owned app. That means you sign up with your Instagram account. And that also means at this stage, you cannot delete your Threads account, because that would delete your Instagram account as well. So I feel like I need to point this out at this stage, because there was a lot of confusion. They might change that in the future. You can deactivate it, but you cannot say like, oh, I want to delete my Threads account completely. because that would delete your Instagram account. And also, it's currently not available in Europe, in the EU, because of privacy issues. So for everybody listening in any of the EU country, you can't get it yet, but obviously they're working on it. And the fun thing is really just in the beginning stages, everybody is still, you know, friendly, and it's super fresh. And it's really just to share short sentences. So as a business owner, I would highly suggest to not put out anything that feels salesy or is promoting your business, but rather just share either funny stuff or share a quote, share inspiring stuff, share what you're currently thinking, and have any staff member who is either funny or good at writing do the Threads account. Because really, when you go on Threads and you scroll through big brands, you can see it's so unhinged, and everybody is just really putting out those funny content ideas that you sometimes want to post, but then you don't because you're managing a brand account. That's kind of how it feels right now.
Okay.
And I think they're going to release more. Well, they say they're going to release more and more features, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So even if you listen to this in a couple of weeks, it might already be different. But I would suggest to hop on the trend, just because I feel like a lot of people, including me, missed out on those early stages on TikTok. And then you kind of felt like, well, it's going to go away again. And it didn't. And then you're like, okay, well, now I kind of have to join because it's not going anywhere.
Absolutely. I think I saw a funny meme about that where it was like, you missed out on Bitcoin, you missed out on TikTok, you missed out on such and such GameStop or whatever. Get on Threads. And I was like, yeah, laughing. I was like, yeah, that's actually a really good way to get people onto that, because I thought their example, I thought it was pretty funny. So thank you for sharing with us kind of how to use the app, how to navigate it, and sort of how to start interacting and become early adopters. Because I definitely think it's not going to go anywhere with it being tied so closely to Instagram. I think that's kind of the difference that I've seen before, is like a new app, like TikTok was developed by someone else, needed early adopters. People weren't really sure what it was. And then it kind of had to, you're kind of like, well, do I add another platform in this regard? Because it's so tied closely to Instagram, my thoughts are that it's going to become its own platform in its own right, and that it's not really going to go anywhere. And being an early adopter can be really helpful. So for those of you who are just getting started growing, or maybe aren't seeing a lot of traction on your social media, this could be an opportunity for you to be one of those people that is kind of like the breakout users of the app. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So I have a few more questions here. And the next one I'm going to get into is probably the most common question that I get. And I'm sure really common when people listening are thinking about. So when it comes to paid versus organic social media content, like, I always get asked the question, which one is better? Which one should I start with first? And I'd really love to hear from you what you would recommend to someone when it comes to paid versus organic social media marketing strategies, knowing that majority of our listeners are service-based business owners.
Yeah. Well, I would say if you have the budget, I would do both. I would always do both if I have the budget. For me, organic social media marketing is, I always compare it to, like, it's like having a billboard on a very busy highway. And the only thing you need to do is pay the social media manager to put up the billboard. All the rest is for free. The billboard is just going to stay there for free, and there's going to be traffic. So you don't have to pay for the social media apps for organic. You only have to pay a social media manager. Obviously, if you're a service-based business owner and you're like solopreneur, you don't even have to pay that. You can do it yourself. So it's completely free. It's your time, but other than that, it's free. So I would always do that. But you won't see exactly, okay, how many or what exact piece of content has now given me this sale? Was it because I posted 10 times? Was it because I had one viral post? Or was it because I was consistent for a year? It's really hard to track those KPIs. Yet you would still do it, right? If if I would tell you you can get this free billboard, you would still do it. So I would still do the organic. But if I want to see very quick results, I would do paid marketing. So let's say you have already a finished funnel. As a service-based business owner, you have your freebie and you just want to grow your email list very quickly. Yes, you can promote it on your organic channels and maybe you get a few downloads depending on how big your audience is. But if you put paid ads behind it, you'll get instant results. And if you have a good funnel with the follow-up, you will see really good results and the KPIs you might be looking for. But again, I would still do the organic because that's really where you then connect with your audience. Because if someone just downloads your freebie, and even if you have like a follow-up email sequence, they might want to follow you on stories just to see like, who are you? How are you teaching? How do you show up? And might even send you a DM to make sure that it's not a scam or whatever. So I feel like it's always a good mix to have both. But if you in the beginning can't afford it, start with organic and then see how you go down the road.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to budgets, do you have kind of like,
do you have recommendations for which platforms to be on for paid and kind of where would a starter budget look like?
I would start with Instagram and Facebook ads. And a lot of the time people think you have to choose between those, but as you know, it's not, it's all handled in one platform and the platform decides where to put the budget, but mostly goes 80% to Instagram anyway. So I would start there. And then I would say, look for at least, I try to go for at least 500 a month. If you can't do that, then try to do at least $10 a day. And there will be marketers who will tell you, you need to have at least $1,000 a month. But I can tell you, it's actually way more interesting if you have a smaller budget, because that's where you have to be more creative. That's where you really look, okay, how much, you'll really look at every single cent. How is it spent? What video ad could I maybe do that lowers the cost even more compared to when you have a huge budget and you can just test everything? So I'd say if you're very low in budget, $300 to $500 to start with. If you have $1,000, that's great.
And do you recommend having a
freebie to be the main piece of content, or is it to drive brand awareness? Kind of where, like, what should someone pay to put up essentially to get the results that you're recommending they get in the beginning?
It depends on what their business goal is. So let's say someone, if you want to, let's say you're a coach and you want to have more one-on-one clients, I would say a freebie would be a great way. And but then from there, you want to have an email follow-up sequence, obviously, so that people also can, so that they stay engaged and then pitch them from there. I do have clients who say, you know, I just actually want to grow on Instagram. And I always tell them that to me, that's not really a goal, but if that's really what you want, I can help you do that too. You can do both, but in my ideal world as a marketer, you would have a freebie and I'll put the traffic towards the freebie. And then you do a follow-up sequence with your email marketing. If not, what I've seen great results as well, if I really just run Instagram story ads, nowhere else, no Facebook, no Instagram feed. And those stories have a link and that link leads to their profile. So it's really just to actually grow the Instagram account, but it has helped if the person is super active on stories, posts, let's say every day, and can build that kind of engagement and those one-on-one relationships with the new followers. If you want to put up like that kind of work, then you can do that as well. But with a funnel, you just can be more hands-off and can handle larger amount of leads.
And for someone who is looking at, like, say, lead cost as one of their
metrics, what is a typical, for the $300 to $500 budget range, what should they be looking at in terms of a good goal for lead cost?
You know, I would personally say anything under $5 is good, but I'm trying to get them between $2 and $3 per lead. I do have my current clients, we're paying $1 to $2 for a freebie, which I feel is really great. But I also want to look at the overall, not just that lead cost, but also how does all the rest then interact with it? But I would say anything that's over $5 to me would be not acceptable at that budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not getting a lot of leads for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've seen the standard seems to be around that $2 to $3 mark. And yeah, it's always good to know though, like going up to five. And like you said, it's like, how many leads are you getting with what you're spending? Is it worth it for the time and the effort that you're putting in for what you're getting out of it? So thank you so much for sharing that. I think those are some great places for someone to start. But of course, there's so many metrics to look at in the back end as you start to get to know ads. I think for someone trying to make that decision, you know, am I going to spend $300 to $500? I would say, okay, yes, but then look at what your return on investment is, which primarily in that scenario would be leads if we're using the freebie funnel. So I really appreciate you kind of shedding more light on that. So this has been such a wonderful conversation. I don't have any other questions for you. I think we really covered a lot of amazing topics in the social media management realm, but I have to ask, because I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, how has starting your own business led to more freedom and fulfillment in your life?
Well, it's completely changed my life. The main and only reason why I did this was freedom. Like, I only ever did this because I couldn't handle sitting in an office and not making my own time. And just to give you an example, yesterday in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, we went to a Formula One track because that's my latest obsession. And I couldn't never do that with if you're you know, not your own boss, you would have to ask. And then, you know, a day before, and you can literally wake up and say like, hey, let's do this. And that's just game changing because you really can enjoy life in its fullest. Maybe it's super sunny and you want to go to the beach. And as a business owner, you get to decide when you do that. It doesn't mean you don't work. It just means you do it on your own terms. So it has been life changing for me.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I know everyone has a different answer and I just love hearing like what this has brought into your life. And it sounds like we have such similar journeys and I just thought that was really cool as well. So again, thank you for being here. And where can we connect with you after this podcast?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. You can find me on thesocialshells.com. And on there, there's also a free masterclass that you can watch if you're not sure whether social media management might be your journey. You can watch that. And then obviously, we're all on the social media channels, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Threads, all at The Social Shells.
I love that. I'll make sure that's included in the show notes so everyone can connect with you and follow along on your journey, both in social media management as well as your travel journey, which sounds very exciting. And hopefully one day I'll see you in Portugal.
Yes, that would be so cool. Thank you so, so much for having me.
I love it. And thank you for everybody who was here with us today and listening. As always, I will see you on another episode. Bye for now.